This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
That's right. This is Uncle Joey. Look at the mess you left. Why don't you cut it out? He's not getting any of the references, people, on the other side of the glass.
Yeah.
That's right. You ought to know. Now, apparently, I don't know if you caught the reference. This is about Uncle Joey. Now, that's another thing. Joey from... What's the name of the stupid show?
Friends?
No. Oh, see, you don't even know. Full House, obviously. Losing my mind. Now, I've heard that this is one of those, the Mandela effect, where you remember something, but it never actually happened the way you remember it. And it's like on a mass scale that many people remember it this way. Like, the one that really goes to me is when I was a kid, if you would have told me, until I recently found out that he wasn't, if I would have bet everything I had that Ed McMahon was the face of Publishing Clearer's House, that he would come, write the big checks, you'd get the letter in the mail of Publishing Clearing House, Ed McMahon, the sidekick to The Tonight Show. I would have bet anything that was him. And apparently it wasn't. He had some like lesser known same kind of thing. But like, I don't know. I would have bet anything that when you said Publishers and Clearance House, I would have said, yeah, Ed McMahon, 100%. But there's like a couple of those. And one of them is Joey from Full House was never referred to as Uncle Joey. Because he wasn't. Uncle Jesse was Uncle Jesse. And then it was just Joey. But I was like, they didn't call him Uncle Joey? Like ever? But apparently he was never referred to as Uncle Joey. He was just Joey. I got to go back and watch it, see if that's the case. But that's who that song is written about. The actor who was Uncle Joey, I'm still going to call him Uncle Joey, Dave Coulier, that's who that song was written for. That they were dating and, you know, he dismissed her for another woman or whatever. And that's apparently about Dave Coulier.
Some popular Mandela effects.
Yeah.
GIF. And not Jiffy.
And not Jiffy, right?
One that I know also. Mickey Mouse does not wear suspenders. This one caught me off guard. Shaggy doesn't have an Adam's apple from Scooby-Doo.
Shaggy doesn't have an Adam's apple.
Right.
All right, well, that's fine, but who insists
who
that he does?
That? Yeah,
that's the only thing. Like, who's going around saying, oh, no, Shaggy has an Adam's apple? Like, the Jiffy thing, that makes sense to me because we buy it on the stores, and everyone calls it Jiffy. A lot of people call it Jiffy. What's your favorite peanut butter? Jiffy. Because I think it's Skippy and Jiff mixed together, and people say Jiffy.
Correct. Mr. Yeah. Monopoly doesn't wear, like, an eyeglasses. It doesn't wear, like, a
monocle. He doesn't have a monocle. He doesn't have a monocle.
Yeah. There was one recently.
Wait a second. I've never heard that one. You're telling me that the Monopoly guy doesn't have a monocle? Yes, he does, doesn't he? I would have bet anything that the Monopoly guy had a monocle.
Oh, that's weird, though. Oh, now there's a Reddit thread. The theory for Monopoly Man's monocle.
The Monopoly Man has never worn a monocle, but many people remember him with one. Damn right. Many people do. I'm one of them. He didn't. Wow.
Do you know the line from Dumb and Dumber? The famous line. So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah.
I think that was also, what would you say the line is?
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, I think you're right. I thought it was, so you're telling me there's a chance.
The other big one is Star Wars. That he never says, Luke, I am your father.
Correct.
Yeah. That everyone assumes that's the line. Luke, I am your father. But he doesn't. But yeah, the Mandela effect is real. And that's weird that many people, we all remember it the same way. There must be something. I don't know why. But I would have bet, like today, before we had this conversation, does the Monopoly Man wear a monocle? Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
The other one that I also, that it says here that seems mundane is that the Berenstain Bears versus Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, like no, there's some like that, yeah. I remember reading one about Ed McMahon and Publishing Clearinghouse. That's absolutely, I would have absolutely thought that for years, that he was the guy on the mail. Like 100%. Yeah, the Monopoly Man. What about the Mr. Peanut? Like that was does Mr. Peanut wear a monocle? Maybe that's it.
I think he does. Yes, he does.
We are the, perhaps one of the most cherished songs in Queen's tenure, We Are the Champions, has made it to countless movies, TV shows, Drunk and Super. It is not how the song ends. It doesn't end with We Are the, of the world, of the world.
Maybe not how it ends, but that line is definitely.
No, I know. Oh, I thank you. I don't know. Something about Pikachu. There's a lot of them. It's amazing that, like, as a people, we can have such a connection and all think the same thing. And Craig used to always go on the birthday. There's like a birthday formula or like, what's the word I'm looking for? The birthday.
Yes, that if you're in a room with X amount of people, someone in the room shares a birthday with you. I never believed that. I always heard him say it, though.
Yes, the birthday paradox. That's the word I'm looking for. The birthday paradox. The birthday paradox is a mathematical phenomenon that states that there is a greater than 50% chance that two people in a group of 23 share the same birthday. No way. No way that if you're in a room with 23 people, I mean, there's 365 days a year. Actually, 366
potential birthdays.
Right, 366 potential birthdays. All right, let's spin the wheel. We've waited long enough. I got sidetracked by monocles and Nelson Mandela.
My fault.
No, not at all.
The Nelson Mandela one, that's the number one.
Yeah, well, that's what they call it, the Mandela effect.
Right.
They believe that he...
People think he died in 1980. That's
right.
Like commonly known. He died in 2013.
Right. No, I mean, I know that's what it's called, the Mandela effect, because that's one of the more
popular. But that one's crazy. I mean,
popular
33
ones.
Years
yeah.
That people just thought he was dead.
Yeah, that is weird. 888-808-1019. All right. So every day at 3 o'clock, today a little late, But every day at 3 o'clock, we spin the wheel of quarterbacks. We could really incorporate both teams right now. This started as a Jet issue, but we've gone long enough here with the quarterbacks and the Giants looking to trade for everybody and sign everybody. So it's actually up in the air right now. But the Jets were the ones who spurned Aaron Rodgers. The Jets were the ones who told you it was about football. The Jets were the ones who told you you can't build a culture with Aaron Rodgers. They needed to move on for the betterment of the franchise. Well, someone's got to play quarterback. And today and every day at 3 a.m., we spin the wheel to find out if we could find a better option than Aaron Rodgers. And so today, like every other day, it is now time to spin the wheel of quarterbacks.
Wilson goes out of the shotgun. Here comes the four-man rush by Denver. Wilson fires inside. And Kurse makes the catch. Spins out of one. Spins out of two. 10. 5. Touchdown! Seahawks! They are blowing the roof off this place in New Jersey.
Shotgun snap, winds up, long arching spiral, down the middle, it's an over-the-shoulder catch at the goal line, it's a touchdown, it's a touchdown, it's grabbed by Kurse, Seattle has won, the Seahawks have won, a 35-yard touchdown pass, Wilson to Kurse, and the Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
Russell looks, throws inside, oh my God, it's picked off at the goal line! It's picked off by God Butler, intended for Lockett at the goal line. Oh, my word, with 20 seconds left.
Russell Wilson in the shotgun. Set to take the snap. And does. Drops back. Looks right. Throws one. Back right corner of the end zone. Drops it in. Pickens makes the catch. That's a Steelers touchdown.
They break the huddle. Mike Williams comes to the left. Three receivers split to the right. Warren to the left of Wilson in the shotgun. Wilson settles back, raises the foot, gets the snap, back to pass, looking, going to float it up left for Williams, and Williams makes the grab in the end zone. What a throw, what a catch. Mike Williams in his first game in a Steelers uniform has hauled in a 32-yard touchdown strike from Russell Wilson.
Oh, Russell Wilson is today's contestant on the Wheel of Quarterbacks. Well, you tell me what you think. Russell Wilson, who did bounce back at times last year to play very well early on for Pittsburgh after they decided to bench Justin Fields and bring back Wilson, who got injured at the beginning of the year. And he played well for a while until he didn't. And then he fell apart. And what we've seen over the course of his career the last 5 years, I mean, he's going to be 37 years old next year. And you want to talk about a guy who doesn't connect to his teammates, which is something this owner and this coach wants to talk about. I mean, this is a guy who's been a little bit different, a little bit odd in that Seattle team. Not the biggest of fans. And obviously, at one point, at one time, on a trajectory of being a Hall of Famer. Super Bowl champion, and if it wasn't for that ridiculous play call and terrible throw, Rami wanted to point that out, that the throw was bad as well. He's a two-time back-to-back Super Bowl champion and beats Tom Brady. I mean, at one point, you look at his numbers, 4,000 yards at four different times in Seattle, 40 touchdowns the year, that second year before he left in 2020, 4,200 yards, 40 touchdowns. Like, he was on his way to being one of the premier quarterbacks of his generation and a Hall of Famer. And it completely fell off. And I remember me and, let's not forget the most, the generational talent, Loogie. We did shows together, and I was screaming about it for a long time. I wanted them to trade. I wanted the Giants to trade for Russell Wilson at, you know, before the 22 season. And obviously, he went to Denver, and his career's fallen off. But listen, I don't have to give you all the stats. I don't have to give you all the mistakes. I don't have to give you all the weirdness and all the stuff, connection with his teammates and how he fell apart last year. You know it. Even at 37, even with the way Rodgers played last year, if you were starting a team today, who are you picking? You want to bring in Russell Wilson, who faded at the stretch down the stretch last year? You want to bring in Russell Wilson, who hasn't been good in how long now? You want to bring in Russell Wilson, who we could say, I know they only won six games this year with the Jets, but you look at that, the beginning of his time in Denver and how bad it was. I mean, you look at everything you want to look at. If you were starting a team today, you're not picking Aaron Rodgers over Russell Wilson? I think you are. I think you are. And now we find out what I would do. Here's the verdict.
Is rising dangerous?
I'm unlimited.
Never mind. That's too dangerous.
That's too dangerous. Too dangerous. I'm not doing it. That could be, honestly, the Subway rap commercial, those raps he was promoting and those commercials could be the worst thing that any athlete has ever done on screen. I don't know if I can think of a worse commercial, a worse movie, a worse cameo. Like, it is so weird watching him sit there and chew on those raps and talk about how dangerous they are. It is bizarre. It's borderline, you know, psychopathic. Like, it's like, you look at him and you're just like, I want nothing to do with this guy. It is so creepy.
It's called the Danger Witch. And it's dangerously good. Be careful, though. It's spicy.
That is no joke. You say that.
You ever done anything dangerous?
Hey, wait, stop it. I want you to play this again. Play it from that same spot you played it from before. But now I want you to envision him standing over a bed with someone tied to it, with their, you know, gagged up, and he's like Misery. Like Misery. Like, pretend it's Misery. There's James Caan lying in the bed, both angles smashed, just sitting there tied up, a captive in the basement. And now this is Russell Wilson standing over that bed looking at James Caan in the face.
It's called the Danger Witch, and it's dangerously good. Be careful, though. It's spicy. You ever done anything dangerous? Jeez, that is dangerous. I've done something like that, too. I won't tell anybody. Listen, one time, never mind. That's too dangerous.
That is so... I'm telling you, he missed the mark. He should have done a remake of Misery. Kathy Bates ain't got nothing on him. That's creepy. I'm telling you right now. It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again. Anything that she did in Misery, that's about as creepy as it gets. Hannibal Lecter talking about, you know, stinking of the lamp and everything else that he did with Clarice. All of that, not nearly as creepy as what that sounds like. But it's spicy. While he just sits there chewing. Oh my God. Did you ever do anything dangerous? Kids, if you're listening, if someone pulls up into the car eating a wrap and they ask you if you've done anything dangerous, you run. You run as fast as you can the other way. And so should the Jets. So should the Giants. No more Russell Wilson. Could you just picture that you're laying, you're a captive and someone, you've been waiting, you're half naked, hanging. It's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You're hanging from a hook, handcuffed, and you're just waiting for some. You're gagged. You're just waiting for someone to come in and explain what the hell's going on. And Russell Wilson walks in eating a sandwich, talking like that.
Be careful, though.
Totally believable. That's exactly like that would be totally like if that was in a movie. I'd be like, damn, they got me. I'm freaking creeped out. Careful though.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. Hey, that's my line now. We ride. McMonagle here with you on our five-hour midnight ride, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Ray in the Bronx. What's up, Ray?
Chris McMonagle. How's it going?
Yes, sir. Man? Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I got to pick your brain on this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge.
Yes.
5-2 player. The best hitter in the game.
Correct.
Very good. World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, listen to me now, please.
Yep.
World Series.
Yep.
Game 7. Winning run at third base. Mm-hmm. Your money is on the line.
Yep.
We're talking about the next championship for the New York Yankees.
Uh-huh.
Who do you really, really want up there? The truth, Chris, please.
Yeah.
Judge or Soto?
Well, I mean, if we go back to last World Series and I have to relive that, I'd pick Juan Soto. If I play the entire year out this year, like if we're fast forwarding, Judge wins another MVP, they're back in the World Series, I would pick Aaron Judge. Like, Chris, moving forward.
I love Aaron Judge. Chris, hold on.
Yeah.
Man, I am a big fan of Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. He is the epitome of a Yankee. Here's the problem, though. And you said it a couple of nights ago. Ted Williams, Barry Bonds, there's a couple of hitters that were excellent. Sadly, I think it's a mental thing here. The guy, if he would have performed against the Dodgers in those first three games, anything, 50% of Aaron Judge, we beat that team, man. They were just sending out relief pitches out there. The Dodgers are a good club, no question about it. But it was frustrating to see him once again the first three games, and of course, the fly ball that he dropped out there, semi-line drive. At the end of the day, if I'm going to have a guy hitting to win a game for me, at the end of it all, between Judge, Soto, Ohtani, I got to be honest with you, Chris. I got to go with Ohtani and Soto,
well,
man.
Well, because you're going on what you saw last, and I understand that. But, I mean, again, like, look at...
What about 2022? 2022, yeah. Man, against the Astros when we got swept.
Yeah, he was bad in that series, too. He was terrible in that series, but... Like, again, I know, but I can give you a series where he was good, too. I know nobody wants to hear it, but I can give you a series where he was good.
Like, 2019.
2018 against Boston, he was good. He hit three. In the 2018 series against Boston, he had a 1.194 OPS. In the series against Minnesota in 19, he had an 872 OPS. He wasn't very good against Houston in 19. It was 17 he was good.
Okay.
In 2017... against Houston in 2017, against Houston, he had a 1.0 OPS. He had monster games in the wild card game against Minnesota. Had a big wild card game against Oakland. Had a great series against Boston, and then a bad series against Houston. A decent series against Cleveland in 2020. Like he's had, it's not like he's never performed. You look at the first four or five postseason series he was in. He was really good. He was just awful the last two times. Awful. I can't argue. Awful. Awful in all of 22 and awful in all of 24.
And this is the point we're making. I mean, we're talking about, and I'm with you, Chris. He is the best hitter in the game.
Yes.
However, when it comes to crunch time, Giancarlo Stanton, I mean, he's old world, that guy, when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Judge... And,
he hasn't
shown
it, but he's so good. But that's like, I don't, like, okay, so, but I'm just saying, like, say you need, like, look at Barry Bonds' numbers in the postseason, right? And then say, look at David Eckstein and what he's done in the postseason.
Right.
In a big at-bat runner on second, you take, you want David Eckstein over Barry Bonds?
I got to be honest with you. Listen, I would put Ichiro in a big moment. Got to remember the days of the Pittsburgh Pirates when
Ichiro never made the postseason.
Bobby Bonilla. Listen, when he was with the Pirates, I know that's going back eons ago, but unfortunately, the numbers were not there. He's one of the greatest, forget the steroids, one of the greatest hitters of all time, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to have Barry Bonds winning run at third base to win a World Series, I got to be honest, man, between, let's keep Soto and Judge out of it, Ichiro Suzuki or Barry, I'm putting all my money on Ichiro Suzuki.
He's another Hall of Famer. I suppose. Yeah. I don't know. I'd still take the best hitter ever at the plate. He's the best hitter ever. Why would I put anybody else there?
Because I believe in moments like that, when you're talking about...
Yeah, I don't know. It would be one... I hear what you're saying, and he's been terrible the last couple of postseasons. It's not like he's never hit in the postseason. He has hit in the postseason. The last two in particular were terrible.
You have the mortgage on it. Your wonderful family's money, everything involved. One is that. Who are you going to go with?
Moving forward after this year, there's no reason why it shouldn't be Judge. It's Judge. He's the better hitter. And you look at any number over the course of big spots, late and close in regular season games, better than Juan Soto. Two strikes, better than Juan Soto. Like everything, better than Juan Soto all year long. They didn't hit in the postseason. But moving forward next year, I don't believe that it's just he can't do it in the postseason. So we'll move on to next year, and I'll tell you, like, do you think it's impossible he has a better postseason than Juan Soto next year?
Oh, yeah, anything's possible. I do know one thing, and you're right about that, Chris. He's definitely the all-around complete player. There's no question about it.
No, but he's a better hitter than him, too, in every way.
Everything. But it's just when it comes to that crucial contact, putting the ball in play, my God.
He strikes out.
We lived it. Yeah. And he did it with Washington, and Mm-hmm. Listen, when you look at it, Pete Alonso hit a magnificent home run against.
They were ready to run him out of town before that home run.
100%.
And he hit a game tying 2-run home run in the 8th inning against the best closer in baseball, Judge, last year. No one remembers it, but he hit a 2-run. They were down 2 runs in the 8th inning with 2 outs to the best closer in all of baseball. He hit a 2-run home run to tie the game.
Yeah, this is true.
That is true. No one remembers it, but that is true. That happened. Now, they ended up losing that game, the only one they lost, but that, in the moment, that's a huge hit. But and that's not even to say he was better than people say. He just did. He'd had that moment. He didn't have a terrible Cleveland series. Like, he wasn't very good. He had 167, but he had a 761 OPS. You know, he had 2 home runs and 6 RBIs in 5 games. Like, he had more than an RBI a game. It's not like he didn't do anything. He struck out a lot, and he only hit 167. And certainly Soto and Stanton had better series, but like. He wasn't like, I mean, again, and then the World Series, the first 3 games, yes, then he got better. If you look at his numbers, he had an 836 OPS in the World Series. But he dropped the baseball. He hit the home run in the first inning. That was going to change things, man. If they didn't have that inning, maybe we have a different opinion on Aaron Judge. Because he had a home run to start that game. He got a double later in that game, but he was part of the collapse as well. He was part of the collapse as well.
The Cleveland home run might even be more impressive because he was mired in such a terrible slump and still in the biggest moment he came up and came through.
No, look, that was an impressive home run. No matter how you say it, against Emmanuel Class A, down 2 runs in the 8th inning, they had a game-tying 2-run home run. It's a massive home run. And again, he has been good in the postseason before. It's not like we've never seen him be good ever. Right? His first go of it, he had a terrible series against Cleveland in 17. But if you look at his 17 numbers, in the wild card game against Minnesota, which if you remember, they were down in the first inning. He went 2-for-4 with a home run, 2 RBIs, and 3 runs scored. He had a home run in the wild card game, helped them win that game in the wild card. They don't go on that run if they don't win that game, and they're losing in the game. Didi hits the big home run, but he has 2 hits. He's 2-for-4, drives in 2, hits a home run, scores 3 runs. Then he's bad in the ALDS against Cleveland, and then in the ALCS against Houston. He has a 700 slugging percentage and a 1.0 OPS. He hits 250. He has 3 home runs in the series, 7 RBIs, a big one off of Verlander the other way. He had a good series against Houston in 2017, 2018. Hits the home run off of Liam Hendricks in the wild card. He goes 2-for-4, 2-for-3, a double, a home run, 2 RBIs, 2 runs scored. And then in the Boston series, he hits 375, has an OPS of 1.194, has 2 home runs, 2 solo home runs, 2 home runs, 2 RBIs in that series. The ALDS against Minnesota in 2019 hits 333, 872 OPS. Houston in 19 hits 240, 681 OPS, not a great series. Against Cleveland in 2020, has a home run in that series, in the 2-game series, has a 717 OPS. So, like, it's not like he's been awful forever. And there's been a handful of series where he was downright excellent. The last 2 postseasons in particular, where he carried the team all year in 22, hit 50 home runs. The team was pretty much him and nobody else. He carried them to a division title, breaks the record, all the pressure going into it. He must have been exhausted, and not to make that an excuse, but he just had a terrible postseason in 22. He wasn't good against Cleveland. He wasn't awful, 738 OPS, but that's not him, 2 home runs in the series. And then against Houston was just hideous. That's his worst series yet. He was awful against Houston in 2022. He had an 180 OPS. He did absolutely nothing. He got one hit in 16 at bats. And then, you know, wasn't very good against Kansas City. They didn't need him. Was, you know, not great against Cleveland. The numbers are kind of pedestrian. He did hit a huge home run. And then in the World Series, he turned it on the last two games, but the first three, he was terrible. The only thing I'll say is it's not like he's never done it. And he's clutch throughout the year. Constant big hits all over the place. Walk-off home runs, big home runs, grand slam against Boston late in the game. Like, it's not like he's never been clutch, and it's not like he hasn't done it in the postseason. The last two have been so bad that it leaves such a bad taste in your mouth. And rightfully so. He was awful. I'm not trying to knock it. And if you want to say Juan Soto's better in the postseason, I can't argue. But this coming postseason, I don't see any reason why Aaron Judge can't be the best player in the sport in the postseason. We've seen it with Alex Rodriguez. We saw it with Barry Bonds struggling for years in the postseason and then coming through. He's too good not to perform in the postseason. He's just too good not to perform in the postseason. He's the best hitter in the game. And I'll tell you right now, if the playoffs start tomorrow, I expect Aaron Judge to dominate. Because that's what he does all year long whenever he plays the game. And we can harp on it, fine. I can find you postseasons where some of your beloved heroes didn't perform well. I'll find you World Series that Bernie Williams didn't hit. After 1999, nobody hit in the postseason. Go look at the 2000 Yankees. Go look at the 2001 Yankees. Nobody hit. They had a couple of clutch moments. I fully expect Aaron Judge to be fine in the postseason. I do. Don in Fort Lee. What's up, Don?
What's up, C-Mac? How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just have 2 points, if you could let me make both points.
Sure.
Okay, great. So the first one, the comparison between Judge and Soto. If you could, well, obviously, if you could pick one player, and you could only have one, they both wanted to be Yankee, you'd have to say Soto, correct?
No. Because of the age. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. He's gonna be good for longer. The age, yes. He's five years younger. Seven years younger.
Judge's gonna be 33 this season.
He's gonna be 33. Yeah. No. So yes, for the age, absolutely. You're right. You'd have to take Juan Soto.
So now, when Judge was 26, Soto's age, he wasn't half the hitter he is today. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he came. What year? I think he was 25 when his rookie season. He was 25. He should have won MVP at 25. It's not like he wasn't very good. The guy hit 52 home runs, drove in 114 runs, and had a 1.049 OPS. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
Right. Now, if Soto continues to improve the way Judge did offensively since he was 26,
mm-hmm.
you can make an argument that Soto could be a 50 home run hitter at some point. You know what I mean? Like he could.
Yeah, I guess.
He's getting better and better. So,
well, I mean, I don't know if he's getting better and better because last year was his best year statistically. The year before that was not. He's had better years prior to the 2 years in San Diego. I don't think, you know, just because he's been so, I mean, he was so good so early. I don't know, you know, Mike Trout was so good so early. We didn't see like an enormous leap from the player they were to the player they can be as they get older. I wouldn't expect necessarily Juan Soto to suddenly, you know, hit 50, 55, 60 home runs just because he's getting older. I really wouldn't. I think he's going to be pretty much what he is. I think we've seen, I mean, listen, I know he's 26, but he's been around for so long. It's not like he's 26, but he's been playing for 2 years and you can expect him to continue to grow. Like, I think this is Juan Soto. It's friggin' amazing. He's the third best hitter in the sport. I wouldn't anticipate. Now, maybe I'm wrong and I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't think he's going to get leaps and bounds better than he already is. I think this is Juan Soto. Hopefully he just maintains this for the next 10 to 12 years.
That's a fair assessment. But the other point I wanted to make is, you make a lot of references to the Mets gave up a record number of runs to the Dodgers last year, but we have to agree that I never recall an offensive juggernaut like the Dodgers had last year. And because the Mets weren't deep in the bullpen like the Yankees were, mm-hmm. they were conceding games because they had to concede games in order to try to win the series. The big mistake the Mets made in that series, I thought, was tactically was starting Senga in game one. They didn't have him marching forever to start to take a risk of starting Senga in game one.
Now, listen, the only reason I reference it is because people, Met fans will call me and tell me the Yankees got embarrassed in the World Series. And I'll go, okay, but you gave, they only scored one more run than the Yankees scored. One more run. And the Mets gave up more runs in a seven-game series in history, and it only took six games. So I'm just saying, like, don't call me up and say, oh, the Yankees got embarrassed when you lost every single game by at least six runs. You got your doors blown off in every single game. Yeah, you won one more. Totally true. And that's fine. You want to consider that a win. That's fine. But the fact of the matter is, I don't view it as the Yankees got embarrassed and the Mets just lost. You want to say the Yankees got embarrassed and the Mets got embarrassed?
Yeah, that's a good point. The way I understand why you say that, then. But if you recall back in 2001,
yes,
the Yankees should have won that World Series, yet they were outscored 34-17.
Sure.
But people never would have remembered how badly they were outscored if they won the World Series. Losing, they were just
Yeah, that's right. But it went to Game 7, and they were winning in Game 7 in the ninth inning. But yes, they got their doors blown off in the first couple games. The same thing with, if you go back, I'm sure even against Atlanta in 96, the run differential is probably in favor of Atlanta because the first two games were just blowouts. And then famously, 1960, the Yankees lost the World Series to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And, you know, the Bill Mazeroski home run, and the Yankees outscored them by 30 runs or something. Every Yankee win was 10-0, and every Pittsburgh win was like by a run or two. There's a lot of noise done. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying I never opened up the show and said, hey, by the way, the Mets got embarrassed. I'm responding to people calling me and saying the Yankees got embarrassed and that it's a better season. Because it's against the same team, and the Mets won one more game. Like, that was the argument Met fans were trying to make the other day, and I think it's asinine. The idea that the American League is weaker, and ultimately they lost to the same team, so it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. The Mets had the better year because they played the Dodgers and won two games, and the Yankees played the Dodgers and only won one. So therefore, it doesn't matter. They just got the Dodgers earlier because the National League is tougher. So really, it's the same thing. And so you could judge it based on that. And so the better season was because the Mets had more fun, and technically they beat the Dodgers twice when the Yankees only beat the Dodgers once. That means the Mets had the better year. And I find that completely asinine and stupid.
The Yankees in 1996 were outscored 24-18 by the Braves.
24-18 in 96 because the first two losses were blowouts. Think about that. That didn't even go seven. The Braves only won two games, and they outscored them by that much.
The Yankees probably outscored the Red Sox in 04.
Considering what game three was, game seven was a little bit of a blowout. You're right, though. It's close.
I'm looking at it now.
It probably is. It probably is in favor of the Yankees. I'm just saying, like, that's ridiculous. The Yankees won their division. The Mets did not. The Yankees won the American League. They won their league. The Mets did not. And if we're going to go just on playing the same team and it's as good a season, then the Yankee fans need to really reassess what they've considered failures for all these years, because the Yankees lost to champions all the time. And so if that's the same thing, if all that matters is, hey, I just caught the champion earlier, so my season's as good as anyone outside of them, okay, great. Let's go back and rehash all these Yankee years since 2001 that everyone's complaining they haven't won a World Series. Let's go back, or haven't been to a World Series. Let's go back and rehash all of this and bring up all of the times the Yankees lost to the eventual champion and just say, hey, that's as good as going to the World Series.
The Yankees did outscore the Red Sox in the 04 series 45-41.
Right. And, yeah, that wouldn't have been the story. I understand, you know. But I'm just saying, like, let's go back. Let's go back to all the times the Yankees lost to the eventual champion and say that's as good as getting to the World Series. Because I promise you, in some of those years, the National League was lesser. I promise you. When the Oakland A's and the Seattle Mariners were each winning 100 games out west, and Seattle won more games than anyone in history, I can promise you the American League was tougher. But I'm just saying. Just saying. Let's go back and revisit every, because apparently as long as you play the same team, it doesn't matter when. And if you won one, if you won a game more in that series, technically you had a better year. So let's go back. The Yankees lost to the Angels in 02. So it's the, they had the, who had a better year between the San Francisco Giants, who won the National League and went to the World Series and lost to the Angels, or the Yankees, who lost in the ALDS? Same season. They lost to the same team. What's the difference? 2017, Dodgers went to the World Series, won the National League. They had, the Yankees, you can't have a more in battled season series than seven games. Yankees took that championship team to seven games. Same thing as going to the World Series. That's good. So there we can scratch off that, you know, we haven't been to the World Series and all. We went to the World Series in 2017. 2022, got beat up by the Astros, but still, what's the difference? Same thing as going to the World Series. They ended up winning the World Series. Same thing. So the Yankees have been to the World Series in 2022, and the Yankees went to the World Series in 2017. The Yankees went to the World Series probably a couple different times over the last handful of years. Certainly 05. I mean, 02. So, like, there's a bunch. We've been complaining about all this drought of World Series appearances. They've been a plentiful. Been to the World Series a bunch of times. Because all that matters is you played the same team. We just caught them earlier, that's all. Oh, 2018? I forgot about 18. Dodgers won the National League, lost to the Red Sox in the World Series. Yankees had just as good a year. Losing in the ALDS, what's the difference? Lost to the same team. It's good to know. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Continue to take your phone calls next. We'll be right back.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets have acquired Mike Piazza from the Florida Marlins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Time! Little Black Sabbath, little Ozzy, get you going at 3:48. We'll say good morning in a little bit. We got you for one more hour or so until we take you to the warm-up show. Another thing, you know, that jumps out at me is, you know, we talk about all the injuries. Both of these teams have been injured. Mets and Yankees dealing with their own injuries, some more impactful than others. Hopefully DJ LeMahieu recognizes it's not time. It's his days of playing baseball are over. But I saw that a player who I was screaming about when I filled in with Sal. I was in for BT. I remember the day we were talking about, the whole show was about the Yankee first base situation. Like the whole show. The whole show, we were talking about first baseman. Whole show. Yankees first base issue. He was hitting me with it all show. Yankees don't have a first baseman. Well, what are you going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And Christian Walker signed that day with the Astros for $20 million. And I flipped. I was like, $20 million? That's it? Thought this guy was going to get 26. That's a good deal. And, blah, blah, blah. And we were yelling. I was yelling. Everybody was screaming. Well, Christian Walker just went down with another oblique injury that cost him a lot of time last year. And I would think he's going to start the season on the IL with an oblique injury. So other teams get hurt too, you know. And right now, if he were the first baseman for the Yankees and he went down, oof, forget about it. We'd be screaming about it. Yeah, he missed an oblique injury, which cost him a lot of time last year. Obliques are funny. That's why I was surprised that, you know, we're so confident on the short-term nature of Manaea, who's got an oblique. Like, they can be tricky. And I haven't heard, have we heard about Manaea necessarily getting back and throwing? Now, they said it could be 7 days, 14 days before he starts ramping up. I have not heard that Sean Manaea has gotten back on a mound at all. It's going to be longer than you think. Whenever a pitcher gets hurt, like, you can always add time. Same reason why I'm not very optimistic about seeing Luis Gil before July. I don't think you're going to see Frankie Montas before July. And you're going to rely on the guys that they have. You're going to rely on Canning because they didn't. Like, and to me, we opened the show talking about this a little bit. In the last couple days, the Mets didn't make a minor signing and the Yankees didn't make a minor signing. That I have a hard time understanding why they didn't. I think Iglesias made more sense for the Yankees. I understand why the Mets didn't do it. As great as he was for the Mets last year, and he was great, right? He had 347. He was unbelievable. He did everything you could have asked for. He brought the OMG song, was an actual legitimate thing, right? It caught on. The team loved it. They had that dopey concert after, where at least we got to see Pete Alonso clap off rhythm, which was funny. But it absolutely took hold within the team. It helped. It created unbelievable vibes. And they help ride that along with his good play. I mean, I think that kind of gets, not for Met fans, but when we have this discussion about him and OMG and everything and the gimmick that was OMG and how influential that was to the team and the fan base and how much fun it was and all that, like, we're diminishing the idea that he hit 340 and the guy was freaking unbelievable for them. And they needed him. And McNeil was struggling, and he stepped in and really solidified that second base position. He was huge. Came up with big hits late, always putting the ball in play, playing slick defense wherever he went. Like, he was massive for them, to the point where Nick Castellanos of Philadelphia said that he was the MVP of the league, taking that team from 11 games under 500 into the playoffs and beating the Phillies in four. But I can understand right now, when you're looking at his age and what the Mets are trying to accomplish and what they've added and what this the rest of this lineup looks like and where they're thin and where they have young prospects and where you want to see Beatty and have some ability to be flexible with that last roster position. I understand it. I think the Mets made the right decision to move on from him. You can't recreate OMG, so forget that part. The actual baseball player, as good as he was for them, I want to see if Beatty can hit. They have other options to be the last roster spot on this team, and they really don't need him. Where the Yankees, I think, do. The Yankees, we all know right now, third base is Oswaldo Cabrera. This guy has been a very good hitter for a long time. He's been bounced around, and it took, I'm shocked that no other team wanted to give him a guaranteed contract. He got a minor league deal. For $3 million guaranteed, you could have brought him in for the New York Yankees to see and just see how camp goes, and maybe he plays better and he takes over third base. It's a better option than Oswaldo Cabrera right now, or at the very least, even if you lose, I know you don't want to lose Peraza, but you could trade Peraza and have him be your utility infielder and right-handed platoon with Cabrera. At minimum, he gives you a better option and is a more suitable player for that. And it costs you $3 million. Like, forget it. They're not adding a dollar. Like, if they let this, I mean, and I don't know, maybe Iglesias wanted to go out west. It's a minor league deal. We know he wanted to be a Met. But I don't understand why they didn't do it. And then the Mets, I don't know why they didn't bring in Quintana. You can tell me what you want. Oh, the 40-man roster. You'd have to, who are you going to get rid of? I don't know. Is there anyone more important than your fifth starter on that 40-man? And it was for $4 million. Now, I know it's double the luxury tax. Same thing for the Yankees. So it wouldn't have been three. It would have been six for Jose Iglesias. And it wouldn't have been four and a half. It would have been nine, almost $10 million for the Mets with Jose Quintana. But, like, to me, that's where I'm not looking to add another starting pitcher. I'm fine with Will Warren. I'm fine with the options the Yankees have for that rotation. I'm fine with Marcus Stroman and Will Warren. I'll live Cookie Carrasco. That's fine because the rotation's their strength. Just like right now, I'll live with Beatty having a real shot at taking hold of a position here. I'll live with, you know, Acuna or whatever. I like those options, in fact. That's the strength of the team. The weakness for the Mets is the rotation. So when you have Manaea and Montas go down, and you don't, Montas is going to be back until July, and you don't know when Manaea is going to recover, like, bring in a guy who was successful for you last year for eight, if it cost you $8-9 million. It doesn't make any sense to me when you're going to be focusing and relying on Paul Blackburn and Griffin Canning, who is arguably the worst pitcher in baseball who was allowed to make 30 starts. Those two signings for the Mets and Yankees that just went Quintana goes to Milwaukee and OMG goes out to San Diego. Hard time understanding why these two teams weren't involved. 888-808-1019. Quick break. On the other side, we'll say good morning, talk a little bit more baseball, maybe some more quarterback stuff. Everything's on the table. Your calls, though, would be next. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.